Morning, everybody. It's an honor and a pleasure and a huge privilege to be this morning with you guys. And just want to honor Ryan and the eldership team for the work they're doing here in the City Bowl, watching the growth and seeing the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the youthful exuberation gives me life. Yeah. I'm inspired by you guys. That's awesome. And also well done on that worship. It was very intimate and special. I was with Andrew on Friday night. Ems was ill. She got an infection in her kidney, and we're praying that she gets better soon. She's on a strong dose of antibiotics to get better, but she's not well at the moment. But Andrew does send his love. He does send his best wishes and his regards. He knows that I'll be here, or I am here with you guys this morning, but he did ask me to send his fondest love to you guys. He obviously praying for you guys, and he cares for you guys. And this morning, I'd like you to turn to the person either to your left or to your right and say to them, this preach is for you. Till run. See, the problem is, you know, normally when somebody preaches a preach, you always say, I wish that guy was here. I wonder if my wife was listening or my husband's listening. This is just for him. So anyway, this is for you. What we will be doing today is that at the end of my preach, I'm going to call for a response. And after we have responded, we're then going to break some bread in celebration of what Jesus has done for us, either through the response or where we are in our own lives at this point in time. So if you don't mind just quietening your hearts, closing your eyes, I'd like to pray for us this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for your life. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is amongst us this morning. Lord, we want to receive you. We want to open our hearts to you. We want you, Lord, to provoke us into the more of where you're taking us. So even as we're sitting here, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit just to you know, move me, speak to me, that I can change. Lord, when I change, when I've been in your presence, I'll go out to glorify your name, because I'll never be the same when I've encountered you. My face will shine with your glory, and I'll be compelled to tell other people about who you are and how special you are. So in this message, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Stir my heart. And Lord, when we call for a response, when we call for ministry, Lord, I'm not going to stand back. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to receive your touch, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Do your work in us. And Lord, I know I cannot do this in my strength or in my power. So I submit this word to you, into your hands, and say, Holy Spirit, let your will be done this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The title of this preach, if you're taking notes, is Don't Allow Your Past to Define Your Future. Don't allow your past to define your future. Now, we all have a past, don't we? Is there anybody over here that doesn't have a past? You can raise your hand quickly. We've all got a past. Now, the interesting thing about our past, you know, we walk around, some of us hear these statements quite frequently, and sometimes it's quite, you know, nah, blah, whatever you want to call it. You know, I've always been like this. This is just the way I was made. But it's something of our past that's holding us back. It's something of our past that's preventing us moving forward into the more of where Jesus is taking us. Now, we all have a past. And each one of us have been through some different experiences in our past. And there are four things that I'd like to share with you amongst. There could have been many others, but there are four key things that I'd say we've been through. And the first one I would say is a major decision that you could have made in your past that is influencing you where you are right now. And it's left a mark on your lives. And you know, you're carrying this shame, you're carrying this guilt, you're carrying, you know, lack of trust, you're doubting people, you're doubting yourself, you're doubting circumstances, and there's even a disbelief. You know, this is just the way I've been made. I can't move forward. I can't break through where I am. And I can give you an example. There's a lady that we know, she's nearly 60, in fact, and when she was in college, at the age of 17, 18, she met this guy, she slept with him, and she fell pregnant. Now, think about, like, probably 40-odd years ago. Abortions were illegal, but she went for an abortion. She had an abortion. And she's been racked with guilt and shame right up until now. She can't break through into the more of God. She's angry, she's bitter, she's disbelief. And if you look at her, you can just see that she's carrying this whole life, the shame around with her. Now, I'm not talking, you know, a small decision that you made. I'm not saying, you know, it's what shirt should I wear today? Should I wear a pullover? Should I wear a collar shirt? Should I have Rice Krispies or Post Toasties or cornflakes, whatever the case is? I'm talking about a big decision that you guys have made that could be holding you back. The second place is a place of disappointment. This is a place where somebody that you've really loved, somebody that you really cared for, somebody that you like sort of said, okay, I'm just going to push into this person and myself, we're going to be as one, or this person is part of my family, we're going to be a happy family, whatever the case is, and one day they've just decided to pack up and leave. It could have been your mom, it could have been your dad, it could have been, you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever the case is. And you're just carrying so much of it. It could have been as a result of your spouse having an affair with somebody. And you're like, hey, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? You know, I'm praying and I've called out to you and nothing seems to be working. I was reading an article not so long ago. This young girl, she's 8 years old. She was in her room and she heard her parents having this massive argument. They're in the process of getting divorced. And they were arguing as to who's going to keep her. You keep Lizzie. No, you keep her. No, I don't want her. You keep her. Now maybe we can have her. And she was so upset that she blamed herself for the reason that her parents were getting divorced. She hung herself in a room that day. It's a true story. Just, where's God in the middle of all of this? So today I'm going to be very vulnerable with you guys. So I'll share some of my life to you guys. So I want you guys to be very, very vulnerable to the Holy Spirit this morning and trust that He's going to work in you as well. Okay? The third thing is the place of wounds. And this is, if you think back, somebody may have done something to you. Somebody may have said something to you. And this has just hurt you and it's kind of molded you and shaped you in terms of who you are. You've always walked around with this. I remember when I was a little boy, I was probably about 6 years old. My mom looked at me and she said, you know, I ever only wanted 3 kids. Landed up with 5. You're number 4. I never wanted you. Never wanted you. And are you just like a burden, your baggage? you know that. We've got to work extra hard now because we've got 5 mouths to feed instead of 3. And I had this rejection over me that I carried my whole life. And about 3-4 years ago, we were watching a DVD in Edgemead, introduced a course called Conquer Series. And in one of the videos, just talking about the wound of a father. And in that, showing these guys this video, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit came on the 60, 70 guys that were sitting in this meeting. And he started ministering to me, and I'm like, God, hang on, I'm doing the presentation. I don't struggle with purity. I'm good. And he took me to, when I was a little guy, I used to be very good at playing soccer, and we were playing in a family. One of my aunt's homes, we were playing soccer, and there was a guy, he's probably as tall as Ryan is to me right now. And I kept on dribbling past him. He was much older than me. I was probably about 6, 7, 8, I don't know. And he's 15, 16. And every time I got past him, he would get upset. So eventually, out of frustration, he picked me up. He threw me over his shoulder, and he twisted my arm behind my back, like a judo thing. And I thought my arm was dislocated. And obviously, as a young boy, can you imagine a little 8-year-old? Ran to my dad crying, Dad, Dad. And as I got to my dad took one step forward and hit me with his fist in my mouth as hard as he could. I went flying, teeth broken, blood, snot, and trana. And then he said to me, get out of this yard. I don't want you to come back until you stop crying because you're embarrassing me. In that moment, an adult child was born. And in that moment, I knew that the spirit of rejection filled me, and I could never trust authority anymore. Not Andrew, not bosses that I worked for, no leaders, MDs, nothing. I just couldn't trust them because I had to sell my own ship. I had to fend for myself because how can I? This father of mine says, I'm an embarrassment to him. This rejection. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me. And he said, he healed me. But I'll carry on about that a little bit later. So with you, it could have been, you know, that your father abused you. It could have been that your parents or one of your parents were an alcoholic. They walked out on you. They abused you. You know, like my mom said, you were a mistake. You could have carried this around for your whole life. But you know the interesting thing and the lovely thing and the assurance that I want to give you guys this morning is that God says to us, I have a plan for you. And it's a good plan. It's a plan to prosper you and to give you hope, not to destroy you. The final area that I would like to talk about is the area of lust. And some of us have lost something in our lives and it's just impacted who we are. And we just can't seem to move forward. When we were in Edgemead, there was a, shortly after we arrived there, a wonderful family. And they were powering. This guy was always standing next to me in worship. I mean, he was really like a man's man, and his son was involved with youth, and all the youth he's looked up to this guy. I mean, he had so much leadership potential in him. He was just an awesome young guy. But whilst we were there, this lady's mom passed away. And she was so angry. And she got so angry with God, she shaked her fist to God and said, God, how dare you take my mom away from me? I mean, my mom and I, we meet for tea every day and we can talk about everything. I just love my mom and now she's not here. You've taken her away. How could you do this to me? Missed one Sunday, missed two Sundays, missed 1 month, missed 2 months. They're completely out of the church for the last 4 years. Just so angry with God because of they experienced some kind of loss. It's stuff that you don't get back. And that just shapes who you are. And it's just like, oh, well, if that happened to me, it's probably going to happen to me again. I can't do it. I refuse to walk into this anymore because of this experience of my past. And you pray to God and say, God, why? You know, why? What's happening? And I want to assure you today, God's in control. And he has a future for us. And we can walk free. And I believe that God has a freedom plan for you and I today. And he has been working throughout history to reconcile us back to him. To set us free. So today, one of those keys that Ian spoke about. You're going to unlock your past to walk into your future. So let's look at some scripture. I'm going to go into John chapter 4. And many of you guys know the story. You've probably heard it 100 times. You've read through it 100 times. And it's about Jesus when he was walking with his disciples through Samaria. He wasn't supposed to be walking through there, but he chose to walk through there with his disciples. And they're on their way to Jerusalem, and they come across this little village called Sychar. And the disciples are starving, they're famished, and Jesus says, okay, why don't you guys go off to McDonald's and get some takeaways? I'll hang out here at the well because I have an appointment with a woman. But he didn't tell them that. He let them go, and this Samaritan woman comes down to the well at noon. Now, interesting thing, there's a number of cultural no-nos that takes place in this story here. Firstly, a Jewish person in those days, an Orthodox Jewish person, and you can't get more Orthodox than Jesus was, although he never said that, wasn't allowed to speak to a Gentile or a Samaritan woman, and that's exactly what he did too. Now, we experienced the very same thing. So last year in November, we went to Israel, and you all know Mark Pierce, his brother, and his wife were with us, and Laureen and I went for pizzas one night. So after pizzas, we said, okay, we will walk and find our way back to the hotel. But we got hopelessly lost. I'm walking through these little narrow streets with cobblestones. You know, you walk down the street and there's, you think, okay, this is it. And you get to the end of the road and there's a door, somebody's front door. And you've got to make a U-turn and walk all the way back and try the next one. And we kept on getting lost. Eventually, we saw some hope. One of these Orthodox Jews and his wife came walking towards us, pushing a pram. And he was dressed like super cool. You know, he had one of those cool, wide, black-brimmed hats on, fancy sideburns on the side, Batman outfit. And she was pushing the pram, and she had a Sarah's duck in her hair. So we said, okay, we'll ask him for directions. So, excuse me, can you help us? We lost. And she went, and she pointed to her husband, and he said, no, I don't speak English. He refused to speak to us. But like there's English as they come over there. So the next day we said to the tour guide, listen, we got lost, and we asked this Orthodox Jew. And he says, no, they're actually not allowed to speak to you. You know, it's a sin for them to speak to you. So imagine if it's like that today, what it was like 2,000 years ago. Yeah, you got Jesus speaking to this woman. So let's pick it up from verse 7. An interesting thing that I love about this story is that Jesus doesn't mind where you are, because he'll find you there. It doesn't matter if you're in the workplace. It doesn't matter if you're here at church. It doesn't matter if you're in the park or in the soccer field, whatever the case is. Jesus wants to encounter you wherever you are. You don't have to come to church to encounter Jesus. You can encounter him in your workplace. And Jesus is available to everybody that's open to receiving him, no matter where you are. So, from verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Remember, his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? So he uses this opportunity to change her life. He answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that he's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. That's one thing about us, you know. We can sort of do away with many things, but when you get thirsty, you know, eventually so thirsty, you've got to get that drink, okay? There's nothing better than a cold drink, cold water on a very hot day, particularly if you've been running or playing sport and you're dehydrated, you need to drink something. Just imagine not having to rely on opening a tap or buying a Coke or a bottle of water. And he offers this to her. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is so deep. And where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. Now, this water is available to you and I today. It's not just for the super spiritual like Ryan. It's for the plebs like me and you. Hey, Ryan. Amen. He agrees. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman said to him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you said is true. Yeah, she is, this woman. She's been through five marriages, five broken marriages, and now she's got this other guy, and his name is Owen. Is any Owens here? Just if there's an Owen here, it's just prophetic. Some of the visitors, your name might be Owen. Okay, no Owens there. But you can imagine, I mean, this poor lady, she's been through five broken marriages, and now she's speaking to Jesus, and Jesus just like penetrates directly into her heart and says, listen, go back and find, go and bring back your husband. She says, oh, but hang on, I've got Owen. She says, no, I'm not interested in Owen. Go and fetch your husband, your last husband, number five. Because there's an opportunity for reconciliation. There's an opportunity for restoration between your husband and you. And he just like pulled open the veil of her heart and started ministering to her there and then. You can imagine her. How does he know all of this? Sir, Verse 19, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said to him, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and he is now here. Like today, this morning, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. She then says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things, like, hey, give up Owen. I know you've had five husbands before. You need to go back to number five. And he says to her, I who speak to you am he. And that's Jesus speaking to us at the moment. I who am he speaking to you. So that tugging in your heart is his spirit speaking to you this morning. And he's in the process of ripping open that veil that's protecting your heart from your past. And he's now, come, I want to minister to you. I want to bring about healing. I want to set you free this morning. So what did she do and what do we do? Let me give you four keys that I'd like to share with you. Firstly, it's the way we pray. Now, I didn't give the guys a scripture, but Mark 9:29, you all know the story. There was a commotion, and Jesus went across and said, what's this all about? And the man said, my son was filled with a demon, but your disciples laid hands on him, and they couldn't cast the demon out. So Jesus laid hands on him, and the demon fled. Later on, the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, how come when we try to cast out this demon, he wouldn't leave? And Jesus says, some will only come out through prayer and fasting. Okay. So prayer is very significant in terms of breaking the chains of your past. So we go to God and we pray into what God says about us. Not what we believe, not what the world says about us. Not that somebody's called you a loser. Not that somebody like your parent or your mom says you were a mistake. Not what your boss calls you, I mean, like an incompetent individual, or you're always like that. No, we back up and we go into God's word and we press into God and say, God, what is it you say to me? And he says to you, I call you beloved. My beloved, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my friend. And he says, I've created you for a plan and for a purpose. I've placed you in this place for a reason. You're going to, like the new people that we prayed in here this morning, you're going to make a significant impact on this family. You are part of my kingdom. Not, oh, what are you guys doing here? You're invading space, space invaders. No, I'm adding you to this family because I need you, I want you, I love you. And that's the words that Jesus is speaking over us. We don't listen to what the world is saying about us. I mean, the world says about us sitting here, most of us who are Christians, I mean, you guys are just bigots. You guys are gnarly. In fact, you guys should be wiped out from the face of the earth. And that's the objective at the moment. But we don't listen to that rubbish. We listen to a God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere, and he says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I mean, that's my assurance. The second thing is, we have to face up and embrace our past. We have to face up and embrace our past. Now, it sounds counterintuitive. I mean, some of you guys said, hey, maybe what we should have done, Kim, your preacher has been titled, forget your past. No, no, we can't forget your past. God doesn't want us to forget our past either. God doesn't, when you wake up this morning, he says, okay, remember chapter 2 of your life, I'm just going to wipe it out. No, no, he says, embrace your past. Just like he said to the woman, go back. Go back and fetch husband number 5. He wants us to embrace our past. You see, because our past is our past. You can't get away from it. Now, I did certain things in my past that I'm extremely embarrassed about. I'm sorry that I did them. And God, in his infinite wisdom and grace and mercy, has given me the ability to use what happened in my past to help people now and in the future. So I used to be quite senior in a large, I used to be a director in a large retailing company. And in that time, I had a lot of power as a director, and we used to go on many conferences, and you know what the guys say, what happens on conference, stays on conference. And we used to get full of mischief, besides full of alcohol and everything else. And the more alcohol I had, the more brave I got, and the more amorous I got, and then I started having affairs with women. Didn't have one affair, I had multiple affairs, like a one-night sleep out or sleep over or sleep with, whatever you want to call it. I'm not proud of that. What it did was hurt my beautiful wife, Laureen. When she first heard about it, I remember one of the ladies that I had slept with, she obviously told her husband, and he phoned, and he said, are you Kim Miller's wife? And said, yes, I just want to tell you that your husband is having an affair with my wife. So Laureen confronted me, and she says, is this true? So I said, yeah, but that happened 7 years ago, as if it mattered. It happened 7 years ago. But I realized, you know, so the hurt, the damage, the pain, the trust, the broken trust that then happened with this person, my beautiful wife. But God is a God that restores. And when we committed our lives to the Lord some months afterwards, or a year afterwards, God in his mercy and his grace restored our relationship like you can't believe. So we've been married now for 39 years. We were happily married. Everything about our relationship is close to perfect, if not perfect, as far as I'm concerned. Laureen might not say, actually, Lord, you know, let the truth come out now. So we went for Discovery Health thing the other day, and Laureen wasn't allowed to do any of the exercises because she had very high blood pressure, like so high they were like, you better go to the doctor right now, 200. But they forgot that I'd taken my shirt off at that. I'm joking. But that's the amazing thing about God. You know, I went to God with my past. He knew my past. He saw everything that I did in my past. But he took me out of that pit. And he said, okay, Kim, I'm going to restore. I'm going to reconcile. Not only reconciliation with her and my kids, but a reconciliation and a restoration to a relationship with him. And he uses all things for the good. So when I say that, we have ministered to, we have counseled hundreds of couples, restored marriages, broken marriages, that people are still in this church today as a result of our testimony, our witness, our counseling. Because we can go to people and say, Ryan, don't do it. I've been there. I've done this. I know the hurt. I know the pain. I know the damage it does, not only to your wife, but to your kids, to your family, to your finances, to your career. Don't do it. And you can't turn around and say, how do you know? No, actually, I do know. I've got the T-shirt. I've been there, I've done that, but God has restored. And he's now using us as a beacon of hope to those people who are struggling in this area. There's another way which some people might prescribe to you. Before Laureen and I committed our lives to the Lord, I was exploring, you know, what is the meaning of life? And I was looking at different religions. And eventually we decided that the way to go is to become New Agers. So I got this book and, you know, they teach you how to hug trees. Oh, tree, thank you for the oxygen that you breathe. I can now live because of you. What a load of rubbish, you know. So anyway, in this book, it says, take everything that you did in your past, write them down on a piece of paper. Take that piece of paper and then take a stone and wrap it around there and then throw it as far as you can. And that's the way you're going to get rid of your past. Rubbish! Rubbish, your past! You can't walk away, you can't throw it away, it's your past. Doesn't matter what you do, it's your past, but we've got to embrace it and you've got to use it as part of your testimony to help other people. The third thing that I'd like to share with you. Before I go there, let's just put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So no matter what I did in the past, that is the old, but this is the new. This is the new Kim. This is the new Laureen. Walking in the fullness, or close to where God wants to take us, because we live completely surrendered, totally surrendered to Him and say, yes, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done in our lives. The third thing is, we always have to consider the cross of Christ. You can't get free from your past if you don't consider the cross of Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, he took every single sin that we've ever done, everything that happened in our past, every person that said something against you, every person that stabbed you in the back, and he nailed it to the cross. And the power of the cross. Now, we don't look at the cross as we tend to look at it. Sometimes we've got it on our fridge as a fridge magnet, or we had like a driftwood ones in our lounge, whatever the case is, or a painted one, a picture of the cross. No, no, we've got to look at the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us and saying, thank you, Jesus, because there's power in that cross that is going to set me free. Everything about my past is nailed onto that cross at the moment. It has no more power over me. Nothing. Because it's on the cross. Now thank Jesus for the work that he did. Now Jesus himself, remember, he was beaten. He was bruised. He was scourged. He was punched in the face. His beard was pulled out. He was slapped in the face, punched. Left to die on that cross. All the shame, all the embarrassment, all the guilt, everything that you've experienced, he experienced on that cross for you and myself. So when you go to him now and say, Jesus, Jesus, you know what they're saying about me? All this guilt that I'm feeling about my past. Jesus can look at you with those piercing blue eyes that he's got. And he says, tell me. I understand. I've been there. I've carried this for you. I understand. So we go to the cross of Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done for us. When we look at the cross and say, thank you, Lord, that gives us the opportunity to move forward into the future. Spoke about that father wound. Shortly after that video played, I stood up. The Holy Spirit was ministering to me, and I stood in front of these guys, 70 of them, 67 of them, and I said, guys, God's just shown me I'm carrying this massive father wound. But it's more a root of rejection more than anything else. I want you guys to forgive me for the way I've led you guys. Maybe been a little bit too harsh, a little bit strict. Maybe a little bit too strong in certain areas. I haven't been Jesus to you guys. I went to Andrew Selly the next morning, met him in his home. I was crying. I said, Andrew, help me. I just, forgive me, man. I haven't been the leader that you wanted me to be. He said, I knew that there was something. I knew that there was something. And I think that Wednesday night we had an all-elders meeting in Edgemead, and I stood up and I confessed to all the guys and asked for forgiveness. But in that moment, God set me free. Revelation 2:17 in New King James Version. And this is what I love, and I'd like you guys to underline this, photograph this, and stick this as a fridge magnet on your fridges. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, underline that word, overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on that stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So I stand in front of Jesus right now. Gives me a new stone. The stone doesn't say adulterer. It now says faithful. The stone doesn't say rejected. It says accepted. In fact, it's beloved. My boy, my son. What is the name that Jesus is calling you today? It's not the lie of the enemy. It's not loser, it's winner. It's not orphan, it's son or daughter. When I met Jesus, I overcome a broken marriage, lust that God took away, pride, bitterness, disappointment. I lost my brother at a very early age, both my parents dead, a kind of sense of abandon, but God has brought us through this. My past is on that cross, and the cross canceled all the power of darkness, so those memories that hold me back. And I can stand here in front of you guys confidently, boldly, not with any pride, but say, Jesus, you are genuinely the way, the truth, and the life. Without you, I'd be hanging on to my past. Without you, I'd be divorced. Without you, I'd be an alcoholic. Without you, I'd be the loser. Without you, I'd still be walking around with this thing of rejection over my life. Let's stick Romans 8:31-39. This is my favorite piece of scripture. I'm going to read it through on the board with you guys. What then shall we say in response to this? Now you've heard all of this stuff coming out of my mouth. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who can bring any charge against you? Is it your boss? Is it your colleagues? Is it your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, or some loser down the road who's going to call you something? No. It is God who justifies. Who's it that condemns? Those guys? No. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised from life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. How awesome is that? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? A gnarly parent? A gnarly spouse that's left us? Or somebody? No. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not your past. Nothing can separate you. God knows what you did. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're going to do. You're not going to catch him by surprise. He's not going to wake up one morning and say, oops, mistake. Oops, I never knew he was going to do that. God knows. And he says, nothing, nothing can separate you from my love. Jesus sitting at the right hand side of our Father at the moment saying, look, Kim, please, I need to pray for that guy. And God says, yeah, I love him too. I love him. I can use him. You see, will we never experience pain again as we move forward from this place? No, of course we're going to receive pain. That's just life. And some of us might be going through some stuff that you might have to go and see a physician, a doctor, whatever, a specialist. And that's why those people are there, is to help us through some of those things. But the disappointment you can get through, because each day when we wake up in the morning, you need to remind yourself of this. His mercy is new. His mercy is new each day. His mercy is new each day. His mercy is new each day. So God, doesn't matter what I did yesterday, today your mercy and your grace are new for me. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, we land this. God wants us to use our past. He wants you to use your past. How do you use your past? Now we use it as part of our testimony. So you have two types of testimonies. You have a short version, 3-minute version, and you have a long version. When you've got time, you can sit and have a coffee and say to somebody, this is what Jesus has done in my life. I used to be this, but now I'm that. This is what Jesus has done. Just like he said to the woman in John 4:39, says this, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. This woman, she went back. I mean, she had 5 broken marriages. Just imagine the abuse that she went through, being rejected, used, abused, rejected. Goes back. Hey, guys, you've got to come and meet this most amazing person. He's called Jesus. Suddenly, there's a revival that breaks out. Over 3,000 people get saved. First revival that breaks out is through this woman who was once rejected, who had a past of being an adulteress, being used, abused. 5, I mean, you know, in those days, if a woman got divorced, I mean, she was like scum. Have nothing to do with her. She's been divorced 5 times. Suddenly, God uses her just as God is using me. Go and tell somebody about the good news of the Gospels. Jesus Christ, yeah, to set you free today. If Jesus can do it to me, he can do it to you. So many people came to believe Jesus that day. If we get filled by the Holy Spirit, not to sit here and become pew warmers or bench warmers or chair warmers. Now God says, no, today I want to set you free. Today I want you to get up and go and tell somebody what I've done for you. A remarkable change in your life through what I've done on that cross for you.